Welcome.
Welcome to all of you. Thank you for making the effort to be on time so we can start and have a full session. I hope the most spacious one for all of you. So apparently I need to talk into this microphone, as awkward as it may seem, because this is recorded. So just bear with me as I try and play with this thing. Yeah, so maybe if you want to join for a little circle, kind of a huddle, so we... Standing, yeah. I've got a request for operational language here. I'm going to try and be as clear as I can. Thank you. Yeah, so welcome. Welcome to all of you. I always need to look in my paper to remember the title of my contribution. So this is a workshop which is entitled Embodying the Second Tier, Embodying Teal. And it's a laboratory for exploring how we can build more resilience and possibly grow out of the VUCA world. So some of you know this acronym, some may be less familiar. It's not an issue at all, not a requisite to be here. All the more interesting if you don't know what it is, because I think we all know, in a way, what it is. Maybe just a few words about myself. So my name is Maud Rabert. I am a somatic coach and facilitator. I'm French originally, and I live in Austria, and I work internationally. I also train facilitators and coaches worldwide on how to bring the body to business, to the business work, business world. If you can just be mindful of closing the door behind you, thank you. I'm also a founder of an organization which is called Working at the Next Stage, and we try and bring practices in the world of work that support self-management, self-organization, and teal ways of working to happen and to be fruitful. Welcome. Please join us. And my calling is actually to bring that in through living experience, so just through the body. We're going to talk a lot about embodiment. So what is embodiment? I've got here a few colleagues who also practice that with me. Embodiment is a set of practices and approaches that help us build more awareness of how we are as a whole person. So mind, emotions, body, and soul included in the experience. And from that awareness to build, hopefully, a little bit more choice, a little bit more range in our life so we can find responses that are just more adapted to our challenges. So hoping that today you're going to find insights that are useful to you, and most of all that you can apply into your own context as you get out. So just a few other words. In this workshop, we're going to explore the current world that we live in. So on the one hand, I suppose some of you could say that this is the safest world, the most comfortable world we've ever lived in. We're not really fearing any epidemics in the next 5 minutes, or war, an invasion. We have the basic needs of the Maslow pyramid covered. And on the other side, we can also all clearly notice around us in the organizations maybe that you work in or you work with, in your context, in your maybe your associations or the schools that you work in, how everything has been accelerated. We talk about a fourth industrial revolution, an age of acceleration where the interconnectedness and the speed of change are rising. And there's been an acronym that's been created, VUCA, and you see some of these letters hung up in the room. The orders in which they are hung makes no sense. I was asked this question. And so we're going to explore just all of them. I don't want to be too attached to these either, because in a way, it's just a descriptor, right? It's just a few words that we use to describe that. And the idea is because we are all, as integralists, we are all, I suppose, wanting to make a difference in the world. So we also work in this world, we work with it, right? So there's no way we cannot be impacted by that personally. And I know in the organizations that I work in, I am sometimes caught by that ambiguity, that complexity. And it makes something to me, it does something to me in a way that sometimes limits my own capacity to make an impact. Yeah, so what I just want to offer today is a kind of a modest set of experiences, and we're going to see how many we can do in the time that we have, and just trying to make sense out of that. So what does it do to us, and are there any, you know, simple practices we can do to live that with more ease, with more impact? How would that sound like? Would it be useful? Yes? Yes. So let's start maybe by getting a little bit more into our bodies after lunch. So if you have a bag or something, wonderful, welcome. If you have shoes you don't need right now, you can leave them to the side. And we will start together entering our bodies by simply walking into this room. So you may start to walk in a natural way. So walking just as you are now. Familiarizing yourself with this room, with this wonderful new group of people. None of you have been in this exact group before. And starting to sense your feet. The feet, the contact of feet with the shoes or the floor. How does it feel right now? Is it comfortable, uncomfortable? What is the temperature, the texture? Is it heavy or light? Where is it heavy or light? And sensing your skeleton as you move up with your awareness, up your legs. Sensing how the muscles and tendons activate and release as you move forward. Getting aware of your belly. Maybe some sensations in the space between your hips and your neck. You can notice where there is space. Maybe if there is contraction somewhere. And you don't need to change anything, just getting aware of it. Awareness of your back, your neck, shoulders. And then following your breath as the breath builds in the belly. And the exhale. And as you continue to do that, awareness of your feet, of your breath, just notice if there are any emotions that are present for you now. Any thoughts crossing your mind? How are you right now? And maybe you can just pause exactly where you are just now. Yeah. I'd be curious to hear. So what are you noticing in yourself right now? And see if you can make very specific, concrete observations. How are you right now? Yeah? Usual tensions? Where? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm hearing an observation, maybe a kind of a judgment, is it fair to say, that comes on it when you say useless? Well, yeah, a little bit, yeah? Okay, super. All of that in one person and more. Thank you. What else?
Anxiety?
Feeling anxiety in my feet. How does it show up in physically? Wow. Okay, so see if you can welcome that and just be maintain the curiosity and be in contact with that, like as if you were saying hello to it. This is a practice. It's so often hard for me just to acknowledge what's happening, like, oh, I'm irritated right now. I just don't understand why we're doing that. Yeah, maybe some of you feel that right now. See if you can just gently be with it. One more second. Other observations? Weight in your stomach? Yeah? All right. Okay. Let's see if you can stay curious to see if it's that, something else, maybe. Thank you.
Sleepy and proud.
Oh, all of that. Super. Anything else? Something agreeable, disagreeable, maybe strange. How does it show up if you had to tell me, if I had to do the same in my body?
Like doing something like this.
Like this, a kind of tension?
Kind of a
Okay, right. So we're not going to stay there very long, but see if you can maintain your observations. Yeah, that's how I was just a few minutes ago, and maybe it's changed. And let's just resume our walking together for a few more minutes of entry into this exercise. So now that we've walked how we are, let's use our movement again to try to give a shape to how we would like to be in the next big hour that we have together. So just ask yourself, how do I want to be? What is one quality I'd like to cultivate in myself? See if you could give it a shape in your body, maybe a shape of movement. And maybe you want to test a few different things. And contrast. The body learns by contrast and exaggeration, says Wendy Palmer. So just try out a few things. As if you were tasting it. How would it be like to have more focus, maybe? Some more openness, generosity, fun. And sense if there's a... if your movement is taking you upwards, forwards, what is the direction of your walk right now? And again, are you noticing your feet and breathing? And it's fine if you stop breathing. There was a study conducted at Harvard Business School that showed that people who stopped breathing somehow didn't always show up at the end of the study. So just catch yourself and do what you need to do. And maybe give 20% more to the shape that you want to give to yourself now. And as you continue to walk, please voice it out. What is the quality you're cultivating right now? I'm cultivating openness. Super. What else? Love. Curiosity. What did you say? Losing up. Stillness. Giving yourself what you need right now. What else? The heart is opening. Super. And just notice as you do this, as you continue to hold this in a movement, have new emotions or thoughts arisen in yourself? Different sensations, maybe. So we can, again, resume our walking gently. And I'd be curious to hear from you. What was your intention? How did you do it in your body? And what came up for you as a result of that? How did care show up in your way of being? Round movements. Thank you. We could almost see if you want to, if there was a micro movement in you emerging as you watched Mark do that. That's how empathy works. We're just doing that now. Anything else? Thank you.
Yeah, I felt vividness.
Vividness?
Being more alive.
How does it show up in you?
The twist.
Uh-huh.
Stirring around.
So that was what you did in your body. Was there any thoughts or emotions that came with that experience?
Yeah, it was like being strong and curious, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Does that relate to vivid in any way?
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so you were doing something related to vividness in your body, and there were kind of emotions or thoughts related to vividness coming in the other parts of your
being.
Being
more alive, more active, more like fresh.
Sounds nice. I want a piece of that. What else did you notice? If you do. What was your intention?
Generosity.
Mm-hmm.
I
So did someone do that to you, or
no.
Who did it?
I did.
Great.
But it was prompted by your question.
Aha, of course. Yeah. Wow. So beautiful what we're starting to hear here. Any other observations different, maybe? Different, maybe a different experience.
The opposite to that. When I went into stillness, as I stayed in it, I just wanted to become more playful.
Oh, so could it be that it shifted? Aha, so of course. Yeah, thanks God you're alive. Beautiful. I have lively participants. Yeah. So, but you did something that was related to stillness.
You doing a beautiful turn, and I want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be that playful.
Aha, and if... So we were also in a social environment, right? And we were doing that. We were not isolated in bubbles. So, and this is all also interaction. So you were kind of nicely contaminated by someone's play. And then, yeah, okay. So all of that was happening at the same time. And thanks for sharing. Just wanted to put that in the light of a quote that I really like from Stuart Heller. He says, "We move through life as we move through space." So this was just a small, gentle exploration that you can actually take anywhere in your life. If you're walking to the corridor, somewhere to an important meeting, and just noticing how you are and kind of, using the movement to sense more, and then maybe shifting and just asking yourself, what do I need, what do I want right now? Then seeing if doing the shape in the body could shift the experience. And sometimes it works, sometimes it works a little bit less. But encourage you to try it out. How is that relevant to what we're exploring today? Why are we doing that? Is the big question that I would like you to ask me all the time, if you can.
Yeah? In a more uncertain and fast world, we need to be more aware how we go through this world.
What does it bring you if you are like this? What is enable to you?
Well, it helps me to sense what is necessary. Mm. It gives me actually the tools how to navigate through such conditions.
Mm. Interesting. So we started harvesting. Where we'll be harvesting throughout the workshop. So all of you, please, whenever you have an insight, jump in and share it out, because this is the way that I tend to teach. I don't think it's very interesting if I tell you anything that I believe in. It's more interesting if it comes from you, right? Super. From then on. So just wanting to quickly, I'm going to try and reduce the cognitive sequences of that workshop, but at the same time, we want to be whole, right? So just a few words. What does those words mean for you? What do you put under volatility, for instance? What does it mean for you?
Unforeseen change.
Movement, and it's kind of quick from what I see you doing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Speed. What else? If something volatile, how is it? How are we in relation to that?
Chaos
comes to you. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Can you grasp it, or is?
Well, you can't. That's
you can't. It's like a piece of soap, right? Because it's already gone the other way around. Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anything else? Uh huh. Okay. Right. I'm just noticing I didn't do what I planned, and I think I'm going to just resume here and actually set you up in pairs. I think it's more interesting. If you just find someone you haven't worked with and actually explore with them, how do these conditions show up in my life, in my situations? And then from those examples, it would be easier to find definitions together. So try and find someone you haven't worked with yet. We're going to do that quickly, so 1 minute each. Just sharing, how do these volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity show up in my life? What are the situations where you get challenged by them? And see if you can share the time so you can have 1 big minute each. And I will gong.
In order to function in the world, for example, when we want to achieve things, that it it becomes very complex because I saw it this morning in the other workshop where there was 16, I don't know, you know, and then I just want to be. And then it's very easy, everything. But then the word is, seems to get more complex with, yeah. So that's how it's showing up in my life.
And the last time I started to discover the different parts inside of myself, so all the different voices that make me, and they are so different, like the little girl and the criticism, and you know everything mm-hmm. like that. And so when I have a conflict with my friend, for example, then all these voices start to talk together and at the same time. So I have to start to sort out, okay, who says what? The child says it hurts. The critical says don't yell at her and whatever, you know. And everybody has an opinion. And I have to look for, okay, who am I in all this chaos? And but I want to give the others also their voices. And now I have to decide how I will act. And until I come to the action, it's so much work inside that sometimes make me crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's very complex.
Thank you. So what I'm hearing is complexity outside and inside of us, right? And we all know that as we do this growth work, then we discover that part of the world as well. Thank you so much. So I'm going to go rush quickly through this, and please bear with me because I would like to keep the time for some experiences after that. This is what I've seen. This is what the research that I'm doing shows. It's not exhaustive. Just wanted to share this with you in terms of maybe framework, like elements of complexity maybe in the world around us being things such as, and you've named them, there's a lot of data, it goes very quickly, it has increased dramatically. It's very challenging to convert this data into info that is actually actionable and meaningful for us. And we have multiple simultaneous solicitations or maybe opportunities, as you were voicing, and our attention is divided. And sometimes we get overwhelmed by that. And so as a result of that, what I'm seeing is that those are moments where you can try and analyze and you know, divide everything in little chunks to make meaning of it. And it's really hard, right? And we struggle. In organizations, what I see is that usually what my clients do in the face of that, and yours may do the same, they start to create, you know, thousands of processes and rules and whatever, which actually contribute to blocking the organization further. Nothing else happens. People get sick at work. And then we've got a, you know, other issue is going to bring probably cost-cutting consultants or something like this. Anything that is missing here from the landscape? Does it resonate with your experience? Just give me a thumbs up. Yeah.
I feel like to me one of the components of complexity is the depth of nuance, and that's how it shows up in my life, the understanding of different parts, not as a certain right and wrong, but that depth of nuance to bring them together. So I didn't really feel something on here resonating with that component of it.
Okay. So my hunch, and you'll confirm that to me later if that's fine, is that maybe in what you're saying, there's a little bit of the other ingredients as well. Could be. Just be on the lookout. Thank you. All right. So second group was volatility. We're going to move through that quite swiftly. Does someone want to share just an example and how you understand volatility?
Yeah, to me, it's like the feeling I got with this word is something that could explode at any time. That's how I relate to the word. So I'm dealing with a person who could get angry at any time, and I don't know why. Something like that. That's the feeling I get with it. It's the hardest for me to deal with it. Yeah, uncertainty is also unpredictable. I'm fine with that, but it's more like the intensity. That's, I don't know if that's right, but that's at least the feeling I get with that word.
Okay, what did it show up in your life last? Any example?
You have to think it's been well, fortunately. yeah, I think it worked with a boss who showed up in a way where I'd done something out of goodwill, and he took it in a way I didn't mean it and blew up. It was like,
thanks for this. Anything's really different from what was said, or?
Well, I don't know exactly this word in this context what it means, but for me, what I select to be here have to be related with complexity, but more like that things are changing so fast that you cannot, at least I cannot go deepen in what I do. So I kind of jump from one to another, like an artist jangling in these balls, like a... This is the way I feel sometimes, and because of that, sometimes the relationships, I cannot deepen this relationship or deepen this practice, and I jump to another one and another one, and all of a sudden, when it look, everything becomes superficial. You could not, more or less like that.
So the juggling would be the idea.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of each.
Uh huh. So there was a movement that was going with your experience. So for you, it's that. For you, maybe it's something else. See if you can give a movement to your experience of that just now. So there's something about the up and quick and difficult to grasp, and you get scattered. Uh-huh. Super. Okay. See how life is better when we put movement in it. Had forgotten it for 3 minutes, and now it's getting better. Cool. Just a few of my thoughts. See if I missed anything major here. Yeah, what I was seeing is that, and again, just these are just definitions. This condition is about dynamic shifts and quick shifts, things out of grasp. Control doesn't really work. The shape of things changes, so same phenomenon can show up in different ways. And as a result, if we have fixed answers, like in the face of A, I used to do B, it doesn't work anymore. So it challenges us, okay, and we're all in the face of that. Super, thank you. Ambiguity, folks. one example, maybe, and see if you could show me the shape of how it shows up in your life as you tell the story. Not sure. Colin?
Well, I went to this side because I feel less comfortable with it. Probably also talking about it is less comfortable because I don't really know. And that's exactly what ambiguity is. It's yes or no. I don't really know what to say. I don't really know how to talk about it.
What is the shape of that?
Well, you can see it. I was moving away. Like, I don't want to talk about this. I feel uncomfortable with it, to a certain extent, of course.
What is it that's
uncomfortable? Well, I'm an engineer, and from that identity, I want to know yes or no.
Yeah.
And of course, I know that reality is not like that, and I know that. But this is where sometimes things are not so clear cut.
In which dimension of your life does it show up most of the moment?
In my work, I am in service to internal clients, and they want things in a way that is physically impossible. And sometimes it's ambiguous because they want many things at the same time, and they're not all possible at the same time. Absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe just a few things, and that's more for the neocortex. We all have a need sometimes to speak a little bit to that one, and then when we have done it, we can stop, which is really good. What I'm seeing at my clients and in the context is that, what we are experiencing escapes interpretations and escapes the either or, black or white, good or bad, and everything dual. And so this is something about duality as well. It's difficult to shape the future. We tend to be stuck, a little bit frozen when we try and anticipate and extrapolate from what's happening. Difficult to take decisions. And this is a moment where I know that I tend to get tense and I'm getting reactive. And then I try to have, you know, preconceptions, and maybe I have judgments coming up in my head. Things should be that way, or this is how it is, and then feeling a little bit helpless, maybe. And so supposedly we need to find other ways of knowing than our brains in those situations, or that's my hunch, yeah. And uncertainty, maybe if we can finish with one word around your experience of uncertainty in recent situation. Yeah. Daniela, did you want to?
For me, uncertainty is related to, in my life, with feeling unsafe somehow. And it appears especially in relationships area. So if I don't know, if I don't know how it will go further, or if I don't know, the interaction, perspective does it have? I feel unsafe somehow. So this is for me the most challenging concept of all four.
Yeah. People also notice often that uncertainty and volatility have links, ambiguity and uncertainty as well. So it's also a link.
It's strange because for me volatility has a very positive sense. Uh-huh. Like, a lot of freedom and options. I associate volatility with options, maybe something that they lose.
Exactly.
Here, maybe uncertainty, it is projected.
So you can use this, yeah, thank you. So this exercise helps us also notice what our preferences are, right? We've started to see that. So uncertainty, yeah, just a few thoughts. Again, it's a framework. The long-term perspective, the structures don't exist. Like my clients, they don't make strategic plans anymore. Or some of them still do, but they just find the exhaustion and the absurdity of it as soon as they finished writing it, and they don't really use it. Often what comes up is that we see that the way of thinking, which is very linear, if A, then B, then C, doesn't really operate so well. And so maybe we need to find new ways to navigate between this chaos you were talking about and the order. With that, instead of staying with the concepts, I would invite us to try out a few experiments in the body, just to see how we are, because this is, you know, your feet took you somewhere. Maybe you think this is the most challenging for me, but it could be different as soon as you try out this, to do this in the body. Are you up for that? Yep, cool. So just a few principles. Don't want to forget that one, where we work together in those exercises. Those are the rules of the game that I suggest for us. So basically the principles are try and be present. You've made the time to be here. See if you can have the fullness of yourself. Maybe also as much as possible your mind, your attention present here for this sequence together. You will reap out much more than without it. See if you can stay curious and practice a neutral listening. Someone may say something that may sound very different to what you may have said or experienced. See if you can just take it as a interesting piece of info and taste it. Confidentiality, we may share a few things that are sensitive to us. Let's just agree, if that's fine, that it will stay in this room. That one is really important to me, personally. Freedom and responsibility for your experience. So it's always perfectly okay to not do something or to do part of an exercise. Actually, my request is please do that. I don't want you to hurt yourself or anything. If you have an injury somewhere on the shoulder, or you can always ask me for a variation, but please host yourself. That's the priority. If you can speak with the eye, using eye, it's always more interesting because it gives freedom to others to have maybe a different experience. Don't believe a word that I say because I say it, because the most interesting insights I'm going to come from you. Ask for what you need here to adjust and adapt to you and enjoy it. All right. So can I have your hands confirmation if this framework works for you? Okay, cool, thank you. Super. So in the spirit of some of the dimensions that showed up with the most vote, I'd like to offer you a practice, an exercise, which is going to be a little bit competitive. So see if if you're a little bit excited when I say that. See if you're getting a little bit worried. No, I don't like that. So this is called the developmental or the evolutionary rock, paper, scissors. How does that sound? So how does it work? See if I can demonstrate that with my microphone. So we're all going to start in the room. So you know rock, paper, scissors, right? So one, two, three, and then we show something with our hands. So scissors, rock, or paper. And you know which one works over, wins over which? Yeah. Super. So the idea is we're all going to stop at the very bottom of evolution. So we're all going to be kind of axolotl, whatever, creatures, you know, ramping on the floor, maybe doing sounds like blah, 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 moving a little bit like this and ramping up. And then in that movement, you're going to meet someone. And then... So you're going to be in my level, sorry, that one. We have a history. So see if you can be there, and then one, two, three. Okay, this is a tie, one, two, three. Okay, so you win, and you get to grow up, and I stay at the same stage, still like this. So you get to grow up, and you get to turn into a crocodile. All right, so you move a little bit upwards, and you become a crocodile. Moving like this, da, 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 da. And then you meet someone else. So let's say you meet Rob. All right. So you're still lower, yeah. And then you meet this crocodile, and you do one, two, three. Here we go. All right, this is a tie. One, two, three. Once more. Once more. Aha, okay. So you win, which means they also grow up. And if you were both crocodiles and one of you would grow up, then you would turn into a ninja. So see if you can, Rob, if you can take it up. So you would just stay a crocodile until you meet somebody else, right? Is that clear? So every time you win, you would move the next level up. If you lose, you go down. So if you lose, oh, sorry, you go down. Sorry, you go down, exactly. Sorry, I get lost. So Rob, you've turned into a ninja. So now you're moving like this, you're cutting through things, and then let's say you meet me and I'm still a crocodile. Super cool, so we're going to do one, two, three. Okay, and then you grow up, and the next stage of your growth is going to be enlightened. So as soon as you're enlightened, you can just take a seat and observe the wonderful world as it is, and you don't ever need to play anymore. Is that cool? So remember, four stages, this kind of ramping axolotl creature, crocodile, ninja, and then enlightened, okay? So your challenge, if you accept it, is to play that game and just notice what happens to you as you play it, as you play with this ambiguity at work, all right? So you roll axolotl and you start now. Oh, wow, beautiful. Oh, wow, see some of you evolving fast. So go back into the position where you were. And so you're either a crocodile, an axolotl, a ninja, or you're enlightened. And go! So we're drawing to the close of that exercise. We're drawing to the close. Last ninjas. So you're now under pressure. The whole group is watching you. This is the decisive moment. Oh, wow. Decisive moment. All right. One more, two more seconds. Yeah, thank you. So, any further observations? Did you do anything differently? And if so, what came with that? And I'm going to come to you a little bit later. Yeah, in your body or in your awareness. Yes.
thinking and just let my hand do whatever it was going to do. I just
And did you do you have a sense of whether that affected the way you were evolving?
I got enlightened immediately.
Is it true? Is it true?
No, I just felt a freedom with it. It was a kind of go with the flow.
Uh-huh. Okay, so how was your experience of doing that game? Because we can look at the result, right? How fast did I move? Did I move at all? We can also look at how was it for me to go through that, right?
Yeah.
More agreeable.
There was a sense of spaciousness.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. Where would that be helpful in your life?
around, yeah, my work.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. What would you do differently as a result of... And where in your body would you start relaxing, possibly? Okay, thanks. Sorry about this. Yeah. Thanks for sharing this. Super. One or two other answers of what you did differently, maybe? And
I was more aware of what happened with my body, breathing. But honestly, I think it was just volatility. I cannot teach you how to be enlightened like that.
Yeah, but and note that this was not the purpose that I announced. I hope I didn't do bad advertisement for that one. Any slight difference you noticed in what you did in your body?
Yes, I was more aware. I paid more attention to... the way body moved, to the way I was breathing. I was paying attention to these things. Before, I was just playing.
Aha.
So this was the difference, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a sense of where in your body it makes sense that you look at? So like when you're really under pressure, do you notice if there is any space that contracts more or is more affected? And when you look at it, maybe it changes a bit?
I felt the second time being more alert and present. If this was the question?
I guess so. Yeah. Any observations that see if you can, as we go through other experiences, see how it shows up in the body specifically, and of course on the other level. Thanks. Anything else? For those of you who had the long experience of going up and down and maybe those kind of stuff, what did you notice? What did you learn from that experience? But how we deal with that ambiguity, right? We have someone in front of us, and I have no way of knowing what Rob is going to do now. So was there anything you were doing in your body that helped you maybe guess a little bit more, if that was useful?
So I lost a few times in a row in the beginning. And I mean, I once won, and then I lost and lost and lost and lost. And it was for me interesting because I started just to observe myself and see the meaning of losing. So before I only wanted like, okay, the game is to win, so I want to win. But then I started to bring up the new meaning and I started to enjoy being down. And then all of a sudden I won and I was like, when again I won, I was like, oh, it's again different. So all the time changing.
Okay, so I'm starting to hear something about learning mindset maybe, like you were using the kind of failures, mm-hmm. and then you were using that info to do something differently?
Yeah.
And specifically in the body, did you notice anything that you did differently in the later times where you played?
In the later times, I mean, my body was a little bit more slower. It was not so hectic. There was not so much tension also in it because of this. And when I was moving, I was able to more observe also other people, and therefore I felt like I enjoy more. I was more being able to be with myself and other person, because this tension was not bringing all my energy of I want to win only, if I don't win I'm angry, and something like that.
All right. So different relationship to your objective, maybe? Different relationship to your goal is what I'm hearing?
No, I mean like it was just about me and interaction with other people. Because I was not having tense in me, mm-hmm. I was able to more enjoy with other person and with myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the enjoyment, how did it show up in your body? Is that fine that I keep asking you questions
like
this?
Yeah. How enjoyment came to my body?
was somewhere in the stomach,
but
it was interesting because I found the meaning, so I was like abused. I was like very concentrated on this meaning. I was like, whoa, okay, I'm now down, I can lose all the time, and I feel very good. And then out of the blue, I again started to win, and I just noticed other people enjoying this with me, and it was again for me, I thought, what does it mean? And again, and again, and again. And so for me, it was the learning, like even though I lose, I found the more meaning in that I was losing. So I didn't want to win anymore. Now it comes to me. It's okay for to belong on the journey, on the game.
Okay, right. So you were kind of a companion to yourself and saying something to yourself that may have helped you in the experience. Super. So just if we huddle again just after that experience, and if we look at, so I suppose this, which condition do you see that experience most linked with? Can be a set of them. What we just did. Which of these conditions were more present for you as you were doing the, this thing?
Uncertainty.
Could it be a bit of ambiguity as well? Like you had volatility? Yeah, a lot of them. And one of the challenges as well is kind of reading what the other person is going to do, right? Or trying to just be able to perceive, because sometimes there's a microsecond where you have a sense, you don't know why, but it's going to be a stone, and then you, right? And you do that. Did you notice anything that else that you did that helped you figure that out? Or what would you do now? If you had to teach me how to play that and kind of evolve fast from all that you've learned now. So practices that we can do, starting with the body, that help. Can be in your whole person, but my field of interest is the body, so this is why I'm asking you. Yeah.
Because I would, my main advice would be just have fun.
Yeah?
So
is there something about letting go, kind of like letting go of what?
Totally.
I
realized when I was the second round, I just said, "Oh, just play," and it was just enjoy more the fun. You know, you didn't know what was gonna happen, if what will the other person get out or anything. So it's just totally random, growing or not growing. So just accept it and just play. And suddenly I got enlightened.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna ask you the question again. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit, you know.
The body.
The body. Maybe your mind was saying, oh, I need to let go of this. And what else did you do in yourself?
No, I just relaxed.
Where?
Where? Well, it depends on the level I was, because when I was first level, it was quite. So then when I was ninja, it was like maybe, I don't know, flow with the hands. I don't know. I didn't really get the attention there.
So this is the kind of thing we're trying to look for. So maybe was it the belly? Was it the jaw? You know, or the shoulders? Yeah, I'm trying to see that. Okay, so a little bit of letting go. So I'm just going to share with you one practice that from experience has helped me a lot through almost, you know, all of these and much more of what life has thrown at me. You may know it, it's called centering, and just having a look at what it is. And I've heard you say a few of those things that relate to actually that. So yeah, like breath. Starting with the breath. So this is the first, and you know, if I have like 5 minutes to teach someone about embodied activity, I do this. So basically, seeing if you can, you know, free up your breath, and maybe you want to try and do that with me as we practice now. So noticing the vertical axis of your posture, so your spine, yeah, and imagining maybe that your breathing goes along this vertical axis. So as you inhale, you can uplift your spine, imagining you're a little bit of a doll like this, and maybe if you want to do that with your hand, you can lift your head a little bit, and then with the out-breath, breathing out into the earth, and we can do that a few times together, inhaling up to the sky, uplifting, and then a long exhale. See if you can make it longer, much longer than inhale. Yeah, letting go, dropping the tensions, if you have some in the eyes, in the mouth, the jaw, shoulders, belly. Once more, so using the breath to be upright and dignified in life, but not being necessarily stiff or tense. Then gravity, so on the out-breath, we started doing that, so maybe we can give more emphasis on that, so really relaxing if there are tensions in the jaw and the shoulders, solar plexus. So sometimes, to be aware of that, you can do one thing, which is tense it more, like if you tense more your belly right now, or your genital muscles, pelvic floor muscles, try and maybe tense your hands and then release it. And then sometimes you get aware, oh, actually there was a tension that I hadn't noticed. Did it happen to some of you? Yeah. Attention. So it's noticing where your attention is now and what happens when we are stressed. What is the field of what we can be attentive to? Very narrow. Yeah. Very much in front. Yeah. We've got lots of practices we could do about that. Yeah. So what's the antidote to that? What would be the antidote? Yeah. And in terms of the awareness, so what I often guide people to do is just having a look at, for instance, the four corners of the room. If you're aware of the four corners of the room around you, and to see if you can expand your personal presence, awareness of the space, what are the objects and people inside. And sometimes you can start just by the awareness of your skin, the gentle heat on the right-hand side. You can do that now. And then expanding it out, awareness of the heat on the left side, expanding it out. On the back of your body, expanding it out. You can't see it behind, but you can sense and of the front, above and below. And imagine someone could enter the room now, it would be okay. You could welcome that person like, hello. It's your space, and you expand your personal space. The neurologist talks about peripersonal space, and you kind of include others in it. And then inquiry. So for instance, asking yourself the question, what would it be like if there was 3% more ease in my body right now, for instance. And notice if there's anything that comes up for you in the body. How would it be like if there was 3% more ease in my body right now? One of the things I love to do as well is think of someone who makes your heart smile. Someone maybe in your life who's tender, who gives you love and care, who's going to be there no matter what. And just sense if there's any sensation coming to it, maybe in the chest, maybe a sense of warmth or expansiveness radiating. So those are the steps I usually use. And if you have like 3 minutes, you can do that super quickly. You just uplift, expand, and settle. Wendy Palmer, one of my teachers, talks about noble, awesome, shiny. So if you have like 1 second in a meeting, noble, awesome, shiny. Yeah, shiny. Yeah. I'm going to send you resources online if you want per email. Just leave me your address and I will send it all to you. Shorter version, you have like 1 nanosecond in a meeting in the face of jerks, you know, happens to no one here. And you're just there at the table. Sometimes maybe you're seeing yourself crunch a little bit, fall down like that. So that's the beginning of, right? So maybe you want to be able to catch yourself earlier than later when the stress response happens, because that's what we're working with. So see if you can get awareness of what's happening. And maybe some of you have noticed, you know, where does the stress response start to be with in me, to build up in me? So for me, for instance, it's in the belly here, starts contracting here, and then I stop breathing. For others, it's the shoulders maybe, or the neck, or the hands, the back. Happy to work with you if you want to diagnose and find that. That was the first antidote I wanted to share with you, because my experience is that I think it helps in those conditions. Did you notice, now that I speak of that, that you did any of these as you were playing crocodile, ninja, whatever? Yeah, even for those who've practiced that, it cheated a little bit maybe. Relaxation? Did you do that intentionally? Okay. All right. What was possible as a result of that?
Well, I stopped getting angry that I was losing.
Wow. How useful was this when it made it possible for you?
How useful was it? Yeah, I just felt more, I started enjoying it more. It wasn't like a magic fix-all, but it was like, oh, it's just a game, relax, it's fine.
So maybe in this turbulent world, this is something we could try and practice. Actually, before we move to maybe another exercise, I'm not sure we can add one more, I'd like to share with you some few other antidotes. Would that be helpful to you? Yeah? So actually, there's one thing that I... Yeah. Okay. So first thing is, see if you can all together maybe huddle in a circle again. Can be, yeah, standing if that's fine for you. If you don't have the energy and you want to sit, please host yourself. Start with that. Same rules apply. And you can actually do that sitting in a very good way. So first question, this is going to be an embodied inquiry, and I'm going to draw on the principles of embodied yoga principle, a practice that Mark, who's here, invented. It's a practice of using postures from yoga, martial arts, and other embodied practices to inquire into how we are and how we want to be, and using the shape as a way to develop a quality in ourselves. So maybe as we start, see if you can gently embrace yourself this way, wrapping yourself with your arms around, bringing your feet together, but not completely stuck. Maybe gently dropping your head to the side, closing your eyes, and asking yourself, how am I taking care of myself in this very moment? How do I want to take care of myself in my next challenges? Just sensing into that experience. Notice if it's familiar. Notice if it's comfortable. Do you want to already be at the next pose and you can't wait for this to finish? Or you like that? Maybe it's unfamiliar and you long for it. Like I definitely long for it. I'm so bad at doing this. Yeah? How do I take care of myself? And then gently from that pose, we can together drop down in the forward bend posture that some of you may know from yoga. Be mindful about your back as you do that. Yeah, dropping down your head, your arms to the front. Thinking of a recent challenge and asking yourself, what could it be useful that I let go of in my life right now? Using again the out-breath to let go of tensions. If there are still some, you can do that on a chair as well, seated. Be mindful of your back. Notice if it's familiar. Is this something you can do with easily or not? Does it feel like, oh, I can't believe I'm asked to do this shit? Okay, just notice it. What do you learn about yourself? What is the slightest little thingy you could drop this afternoon? You don't need to do that or be attached to that. Make a note to yourself, and then gently, slowly, step by step, move up from the back, from the lower back, up, rolling up through your neck and head. Did you all find something to let go of? Yeah, usually we can fill a basket with a group in like 1 minute. great. Then putting yourself in that pose, gotta look at Mark for the correctness of my posture, mountain. Yeah, your feet are shoulder width apart, or hips width apart. You want to work on your extension of the spine, moving up with your head without being rigid. On the exhale, you can let go, but while keeping your dignified posture, and with your hands, moving both of your hands and your arms to the side, extending them to the earth. And you want to be parallel like this. Yeah. What are you a stand for in your life? What do you stand for? What is something that is not negotiable to you? You would speak up for that, because that matters to you. Just put a few words on that. Things you would fight for. There's no asking. You would go for it. Children. Sorry? Kindness to children. Racism. Mm-hmm. And what do you stand for in the face of racism?
Stand up for
How does it feel to clarify that to yourself right now? What do I stand for? Yeah. Because in the face of all that shit hitting the fan, sometimes, yeah, we tend to forget. All right. And as we move forward, putting that together into one shape. Front leg is bad. That's fine. No, that's fine. Thank you. Front leg is bent. Your weight is a little bit on the front leg. And you want to use both your arms. You can look at arm and mark for guidance. Extending your arms about 4 to 5 degrees in your front. Your palms are down. So notice if you're doing variations to the side or a little bit up. This is authority pose. What are you a commitment to in your life? And if your arms are a little bit to the side, you can bring them a little bit more to the front. What are you a commitment to? And notice this sentence is a little bit strange, but it is about who you are, what you embody. As a result of what you stand for, maybe. Just notice for yourself. And see if you can start shaping that into a declaration. Maybe saying, for instance, something like, I'm committed to bringing practices for integrity at work. Or, you know, I'm committed to making a contribution in my life. Just notice that. And let's just practice giving words to that, not making it perfect, just in a round. What we're going to do is going to be a little bit hectic. Don't worry about that. We're all going to use this move. Comes from the martial arts. So this is about entering in, right? We are going to enter into an action as a result of what we stand for and what we're committed to, right? This is a moment where it's going to be decisive and something's going to happen. Someone's going to say something, for instance, and we're going to need to enter into something, doing, saying, whatever. So let's just all move together, practice doing this move together. Yeah? Going back once more. Entering in. Sense the sensation of the movement already. Going back, and a third time, we're all going to say together our declaration. One sentence. Just don't worry about the words, just give it a shape. 3, 2, 1. I'm committed to making a contribution to integrity at work. I'm the longest. I need to work on that. Cool. Once more, just sensing how it is to have a social witnessing of your commitment. What difference does it make that you're in a collective and you can support yourselves and be seen as you voice your commitment? Once more, committed to integrity at work. Yeah. Once more for threes. Yeah.
Here we go. What's the thing I'm committed to?
Whichever makes sense to you, to you personally, exactly. Excellent question. Yeah. Shall we do that? So just amp it up a little bit. Bring in everything you have. Remember what you stand for, what you're a commitment to. And 1, 2, 3, we go. I'm committed to integrity at work. Just stay in the form and sense what it does to you, that you've just voiced that. Notice if there are sensations in your back, in your hands. Maybe you can look around, just having a look at those people around you. There are things that matter to them, you know, and they take a stand sometimes. They just enter it and do things. They don't need to wait for it to be perfect. They just go for it. And you're surrounded by like-minded people. How does it feel? Nice, warm, yeah. So the last practice I'm going to share with you is actually we're all going to move into that direction. So being in a line on that side of the room. And the practice is actually to walk, bearing in mind your commitment. So I'm just going to show you on the other side. That's very impressive. So what you're going to do is you're going to walk through a line, and this represents maybe the trajectory of a current challenge you're facing, maybe a project you want to accomplish. Maybe there are going to be obstacles on the path. That's factored in. But you want to see how you move through that. So practicing two major poses. So the first one, you know it, we've just done it, is that entering in, right? I'm entering in as if you were holding a boken, a sword. Remember the samurai, this is what you're doing. First pose, so first steps, you're going to take a step and say your declaration to yourself, silently or loud. I'm committed, for instance, to integrity at work. Okay. and see if you can almost blend one movement into the other, and just sense that play, sense into that, you know, dealing with the shit exercise. Enjoy. And remember that you can always voice your declaration loud as you go. We're all going to do that together. Take your own rhythm, but we're all going to move as of now. Notice if there is one movement you tend to prioritize, maybe because it's more familiar or comfortable. If that's the case, you may want to stay a little bit more in it. And if you have arrived to the end of the line, notice if your declaration is shifted in a way or another. Okay, just notice that. Wonderful. So before we close, time is always a challenge for me. Just grab two partners you haven't discussed with. And I would like you to just have a simple conversation around two things. What did I learn today? And how could I practice some of the things I've learned today in the face of those VUCA conditions? So just, we're going to have a short conversation. Just sharing, grabbing two other partners so you'll form groups of three. And I will give you an overall time. So you will have around 3 big minutes. So see if you can be sharp in sharing the airtime. What did you learn? And how could you apply anything we've practiced today in this VUCA world? Make it relevant to your life, really. And you can group groups of four if that's... You can join. All right. Making sure if somebody hasn't spoken, they have a voice right now. All right, bringing that to a close. Thank you. So just to be transparent, I have a challenge of soon leaving the space to my colleague Marcos from Greece, who will give an excellent workshop on appreciation. And before we do that, of course, maybe if I can hear. So we need your attention just now, if that's possible. Thank you. Thank you so much for playing with the VUCA conditions of that workshop. Just are there one or two insights that you want to share? In particular, if there was anything, you know, useful you learned and you want to apply it even in a very modest form in your life today? Yep.
Yes, for me, I realize I tend to, when in a situation, think my way out of it. And what I learned today pretty clearly is it's important to just simply check in with your body where I am, and then realizing, well, there's an alternative, and then simply changing the body posture, and then a lot of things will take care of themselves.
Right, anything else? You, Daniela?
I've learned, my challenge is this, and I have learned during this last exercise, how does this feels in my body when I do that movement? So how uncertainty feels in my body. And strange is that it feels very good in my body. In my mind does not feel good, but I mean, does not think good. But thank you.
Yeah, so what I'm kind of hearing what you say is that you could take one part of your experience, like how does it, do I relate to it in the body? You could change that in the body, and it could change how you relate to that emotionally and cognitively. As if you could take yourself by the hand, but you would choose with hands you start to hold, and then the whole person comes with it. That's beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Anything else that absolutely wants to be shared today? No? If not, I really want to thank you for playing with me, spending some time here. Two things I can offer before you go. First is, if you want to stay in touch, I'd love to stay in touch, because I am leading a kind of little research and development on VUCA, and specifically, how do the embodied practices shape how we can shift our state, so like the way I am being right now. We've experienced that during the workshop. But also, how can that support our vertical development? And doing that with some Dutch colleagues and colleagues from Russia and elsewhere, that's really nice. We're looking forward to share that as soon as it's a little bit richer and written down, obviously. So if you leave, second thing is, if you want to take my card, business cards are on the table. Also, if you were so kind as you leave me your email address, I would, as of tonight, send you a few resources on centering and, you know, small practices to do on a day-to-day basis in the metro, in your car, anywhere else. And staying in touch over the week. Okay, so all of that is here. Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you, Marcos, for your generosity and patience.